me tell you of the days of high adventure.
I'm John.
And I'm Kevin.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Hey, Kevin.
Hey, John.
How are you?
I'm great.
Wonderful.
I'm stoked to be back for the penultimate episode of our breakdown of Eraser.
Yes. It's we were just talking about this movie, how it's exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But the word that you or the phrase that you used was It lacks some joy. It's not fun.
There's no sense of fun to the movie.
Right.
I was thinking of other, like, it feels like everybody that was there was just there putting in the work and collecting the paycheck, mm-hmm. and like it just feels clinical.
Yep, absolutely.
But
the same way.
Like other mid-90s action movies, like The Rock and Bad Boys and Speed and True Lies, even other Arnold movies, I felt like are fun though.
Yeah.
And this one's just like it's a grind, you know.
And even with And this chapter that we're about to talk about probably has the most outlandish shit in it,
yeah.
of the whole movie. But even it feels like it doesn't feel like it's making any effort to make that an enjoyable thing.
We just did Con Air, which, if nothing else, you would say it was fun, though.
Fun as shit.
They went out of their way to make the movie fun. But even older Arnold movies like Predator and Total Recall and Commando and Running Man are fun. Like, I just don't know why this movie lacks that.
Yeah, I think maybe people sort of, they knew what it was going into it, you know, maybe from the script or the lack of one, all the different versions or whatever, and maybe, I don't know. We're talking it up in a big way, so we hope you guys will keep listening.
It's still like a solid, it's a serviceable actioner.
Yeah.
It just is like... But why isn't it more fun? Like Arnold, even more so, I would think, than Stallone and some of the other guys. Like his movies tend to have a tongue-in-cheek nature to them.
Yeah.
You know, like, because you just can't take Arnold that seriously.
Yeah.
But this one seems like it's almost like a drama with action.
Yeah, I agree. It feels a little lost and a little meandering, and they couldn't quite figure out what gear they were trying to go into, and then like the weird side quests and stuff. It's sort of all over the place.
Yeah, it's a heavy grind.
And I wonder if a lot got cut out.
I feel like the script was in flux all through.
Right.
Throughout. Because, there are bits that we'll talk about where you felt like, wow, if it wasn't for these great actors in some of the parts, there's really not much on the page.
Yeah, nothing. So, what has happened up to this point? A lot.
So,
but not really.
So you got... Schwarzenegger, he's this character Eraser. He's like the specialist witness protection guru for the U.S. government. And he's been charged to protect Vanessa Williams as a character named Lee Cullen,
right,
who was going to testify against a big government contractor, like weapons manufacturer. So she doesn't realize that she's in great danger. But yeah, she's got people trying to kill her from all directions. We find out that Eraser's mentor, a guy named DeGaron, that's James Caan.
Right.
He's a bad guy. It seems like everyone, basically, almost everyone is bad.
Yeah.
Except for Eraser and Eraser's boss, presumably. That's James Coburn.
Yeah, Beller.
Beller. And then, obviously, Lee Cullen, the witness, is, like, not in on it. But, yeah, they've...
And then Johnny, who we met at the very beginning of the movie, but he's, like, a mob and a stooge. And he was an informant, or he dimed on the mob.
That's Robert Pastorelli.
And we haven't seen him hardly at all since.
He's been the cheeriest, most jovial, probably, character thus far in the movie. But we haven't seen him in a while.
Right.
DeGaron has staged some sort of a ruse. They've been killing a few witnesses to try to flush out Lee Cullen, try to get Eraser to lead them to Lee Cullen. It hasn't worked so far. Eraser seems a little suspicious, right? They tried to kill him or frame him for the murder of another agent. He jumped out of an airplane without a parachute.
Lived to tell the tale. No broken legs.
He's now again. He's dashed to New York to meet Lee. Saved her in a zoo.
Right.
There were alligators everywhere, like ripping dudes limb from limb.
Yeah.
And they escaped that predicament. And I think that's where we pick up. That was a wordy recap.
No, it's fine. It was beautiful. Don't change anything. So, yeah, we open with cops swarming the zoo where all hell is broken loose. Helicopter hovering over the scene.
Wasn't the exits to the zoo sealed off?
Yeah.
Like, I guess Eraser can do anything.
Yes.
Particularly when it's off camera. Because it happens. It's going to become a theme, I think, in this chapter of the movie. It's like he keeps slipping through these impossible to escape scenarios, but it's never shown.
Right.
It's just like, and cut to the next scene.
Yeah. I guess he got out of here somehow.
Yeah. First thing they did was lock down the zoo.
He probably threw her over a fence and then removed the wall.
No, he ripped the bars.
Yeah. There was a feat of strength off screen.
Absolutely.
So Beller, that's DeGaren and Erasure's boss, James Coburn, has arrived on the scene. DeGaren tells him that Erasure killed three of his men. Took him out like that. So Beller is skeptical and says he doesn't believe what DeGaren's saying. DeGaren says, yeah, well, his prints are on the gun. Beller incredulously asks, you ran prints on him already? That's moving fast, Robert.
I like Beller injecting some logic.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. This. How?
Yeah, this just happened. Did you 15 minutes ago.
Crime lab is here. So
in screenwriting,
China is here. Anyway.
In a screenwriting class, we had a teacher tell us, like, if you ever have a plot hole or something that, you know, in your script that you're like, then sometimes you just draw attention to it.
Yeah.
And it lets the audience know you're aware.
Yeah.
That's moving fast.
That's moving fast, Robert. But very like, even though he said it, he's sort of like laughing.
Yeah.
So DeGaren stops him and gets real serious saying, hey, I saw it with my own eyes. Beller repeats that it doesn't make sense and asks why Eraser would do this. DeGaren explains that Eraser has no family, no friends, nothing to keep him honest, and that he probably just sold out. Beller still can't wrap his mind around it, saying, I've known John for years. DeGaren cuts him off again.
Yeah, he smells some bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, DeGaren is weaving one hell of a tale here.
He's like, you know, your very best agent who has no reason, has never shown any reason ever to do anything remotely similar, has suddenly gone off the rails. So DeGaren cuts him off again, interrupts his boss again, saying, hey, we're losing time, and asks, why, if Eraser's so innocent, is he on the run? Coburn gives great face at being cut off at this scene. I love the face that he gave. Oh, yeah.
Old
kinda
pro.
Like, kind of like, the fuck are you, whippersnapper? So Beller asks about the witness. DeGaren says that she's also in on it. That's convenient.
That worked out conveniently because he says, she shot one of my guys.
Yeah.
Which she did.
But
it worked out well for him because this actually makes it seem a little bit plausible that he might be right.
Beller is again like, how the fuck does that make sense?
Yeah.
DeGaren cuts him off again, saying they approached her, ID'd themselves, and that she just shot one of their guys. Beller for now seems to acquiesce and tells DeGaren to bring them in, but to bring them in alive.
Which is, of course, what you would do, I think, in any event, right?
Yeah. Well, especially because, Arnold's white. She's part white, so she could be collateral damage. For law enforcement. So DeGaren tells the police to start a citywide manhunt. I want this town locked up so tight it'll make his balls ache.
Shouldn't that have been done already? Like, let's put out the APB on him. It's like, what? Why are you just now doing that? I feel like
I think
probably
he was
30
to
minutes
kill him
or
on the sly.
But I feel like 30 minutes or an hour is probably passed. Yeah, I guess you're right. If he's taken alive by the police, then it becomes harder to murder him.
Right,
I suppose.
Exactly.
But man, James Caan can get away with delivering any lines, including that, like, yeah, I want to lock this titty. Wait, no, not the titties. Sorry.
Free the titties.
I want this town locked up so tight it'll make his balls ache. Fuck, Jimmy Caan, rest in peace.
R.I.P., brother. So, cut to an exterior of a church where we see Eraser and Lee have taken refuge. Eraser calls Beller, who answers from the helicopter. You can't hear on a phone on the
helicopter. No, it has to be in the headset, right? Yeah. You're not going to hear shit.
Eraser tells him that Deguerin is the bad guy, that he's after Lee and killed the other witnesses just to flush her out. Beller tells him he needs to come in, but Eraser says that's too dangerous. Beller points out that Eraser is the one putting her in danger at this point, that they could both end up dead. Beller's the smartest guy in the room.
He's
at this
great.
Point. Yeah.
I've got federal agents to say you are the shooter.
I have federal people.
All the federal people.
The federal people said. So Eraser tells him that Deguerin's been bought and his witness knows too much. Beller counters saying he's got federal people that say Eraser's the traitor. After a long pause, Eraser says he'll call back when he has proof and just hangs up.
There's great work from Coburn with such a flimsy little character that he's got. He's like subtly projects that he believes Eraser kind of.
Yeah, it's like authority, wisdom in a stressful situation. He's kind of law enforcement officer you hope is like, you know, running things. So Eraser turns to Lee and says it's all gone too far and that we're on our own now. She asks, well, what the fuck are we going to do? He says, they won't last long on the run, and they need to turn up some hard evidence fast.
Funny he should ask.
Yeah.
She's got it.
Yeah, as luck would have it, Lee produces the copy of the disc she made to Cyrez, explaining that she was supposed to give it to her reporter friend. Eraser then, like, sort of with pursed lips, like, suck through the teeth. I hate to tell you, but your friend's dead. She's distraught. Eraser tries to tell her it's not your fault.
They killed her.
They killed her. So she's kicking herself for making the copy, says that now it's going to get them both killed. Eraser says the disc may be the only thing that keeps them alive, but they have to figure out what's on it. Lee says,
No.
To the FBI and say, this is evidence from Cyrez. You're going to want to take a look at this.
It has the potential, I guess, to clear them, right? And incriminate.
Yeah,
the Cyrez people and maybe the Deguerin and the undersecretary. We don't really know what's on it. That's the only thing I can think is they don't really know what's on it.
Right.
So they don't really know if it's going to clear them.
Well, I guess she kind of knows what it is. She thinks it's this clerical error.
It's going to show some illicit deals, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's sort of like they caught Al Capone on income tax evasion. That's what this all kind of boils down to. It's like the Untouchables, but worse. So, Lee says there's no way to figure out what's on the disc to, like, run it outside of the Cyrez compound. Eraser says, then we're going to have to do it from the inside.
I love that he's going to put her life in danger like that.
Okay, yeah, we're going in.
So you're coming with me.
She points out that the place is an impenetrable fortress and that baddies will be expecting that. And he says, I'd hate to disappoint them. Just then a priest appears, telling Eraser, the streets are clear. The police return to the safety of their donut shops. Nice.
The priest is coming in hot.
Yeah, for real. Eraser introduces Lee to Father Rodriguez, former cartel member and another witness that he helped relocate.
And damn if this isn't the second time, like in a few minutes, that he's overshared someone else's story.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was
thinking. He testified against the Colombian cartels.
Putting a lot of people's lives in danger. And this dude's just like, you shouldn't even be here, man.
Lip sync shifts, Eraser.
For real. So the priest then asks, is there anything else I can do to help? Eraser says they need a car for a couple of days, which Father Rodriguez is like, fuck yeah. So cut to our nation's capital. Our heroes have made it back to where they started.
How did they get out of the city?
They locked it down.
They locked it down so tight.
His balls should be... Well, that'd be funny if he's like, my balls hurt. Once they got back to Washington.
But once again, they've escaped the dragnet.
He knows how. He knows
he
people.
He does.
It's like the Underground Railroad for, corporate espionage and treason. So our heroes have made it back to D.C. Eraser parks the loner outside a gay club and enters. Inside, a drag show is happening on stage to the strains of the Weather Girls' It's Raining Men.
It was like Shades of Raw Deal.
Yeah, very much. And also of Tango and Cash.
Oh, yes.
Eraser scans the place, spots Johnny from the movie's opening scene, the mob guy we were talking about, working as a bartender. Finally. And we've talked about this before, too, but it's like this movie would have been way better if he'd been in the movie like throughout somehow.
Yeah,
if he had been
I don't know what he could have been other than a witness. He doesn't have federal agent vibes about him.
Or if he'd been the Tom Arnold character that was like helping him.
Yeah,
that kind of.
He could have just been an old buddy that's not like a someone that has to disappear for two acts of the movie.
Like, and then I guarantee it's like he got written out. That was it. That was all it was supposed to be. And then they were like watching and they're like, man, we got to bring him back.
We got to bring him back.
We got somebody's got to save this shit. So he walks up and tells Johnny that they need to talk immediately. They move to a quieter section of the bar. I guess it's quieter. It literally took three steps to the left.
When he was walking into the club, he told Lee, you know, there's no one else I can trust. How is that possible? Like, this dude that he's met one time.
What about the priest?
Is the only person
in all of Washington, D.C.?
Does this guy not have any other close police friends that aren't?
Any other people in witness protection? Like, I work alone.
He's got no one to lean on except former witnesses whose lives he's placing in danger.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing that doesn't make any sense to me is that he's, like, willingly putting these people in danger.
I feel like he should call some of the other. Call some of the other Julius Benedict clones.
Yeah, exactly.
From the other universes.
He doesn't have anybody in any other law enforcement that he can call. It just doesn't make any sense. I guess it's because he's sort of not supposed to exist.
He's met Johnny once, though. That's what gets me. It'd be different even if Johnny had been his witness. But it seemed like from the open, right, that was the first time they had laid eyes on each other was that 30 minutes that they had together.
Why did he get sent instead of...
I think because he's the black ops guy, right? Or the shadow ops.
Shadow ops
still have some of the privileges.
So stupid. Anyway, yeah, they moved down the bar where it wouldn't be any quieter. And Johnny asks if it was Eraser's idea to set him up with this cover. Eraser points out that at least he's safe from the mob. Johnny's like, yeah, that's true. So Johnny says that though no self-respecting wise guy would ever be caught dead in a place like this, sexist. He doesn't want Eraser. I would say
a homophobic.
He doesn't want Eraser to let any of the patrons know that he's actually straight, which is funny because he doesn't want to break any hearts.
Pastorelli is so good in this role.
Yeah. Eraser reminds Johnny of his oath in the first scene to help him out if he is ever in need of anything. Johnny seems pumped and tells his fellow bartender to cover for him while he helps his friend out. And then the other guy's like, who's he? He looks rough.
He looks rough.
And then Eraser teases Johnny about the situation. I love Johnny.
Do you two need
about,
a minute?
Like,
and he's
Evan,
like,
it's like, Evan, he worries about me.
It was funny, but it didn't smack of like homophobia.
No,
I thought it was well done scene.
I thought that Johnny actually, like, maybe he doesn't consider himself to be maybe a self-respecting wise guy, and that he actually is like, these are good people. And
absolutely. Just, I feel like
Evan worries about me. And that's like, that's heartwarming to me.
Yeah.
So cut to inside of the loaner car. Johnny's getting the story straight, asking, you want me to help you break into Cyrez? So he says he thought Eraser needed help moving a sofa or something, but sure. All we're going to need is some tanks, a couple of rocket launchers, a set of balls like the King of Bayonne.
I don't even know what that means.
So it's referring to the unsuccessful siege of Bayonne by Alfonso the Battler, King of Aragon and Navarre, that lasted a full year from 1130 to 1131.
Okay. And apparently he had big old balls to like...
Well, it's because he like...
Brazen...
And then I think that the story goes that like it was a siege that he couldn't probably win anyway, but he's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
We're doing it live. And then eventually he like challenged the whoever it was holed up in the castle to one-on-one combat. And like broke
Did it go down?
Leg. It went down.
Oh,
and
that's
so
awesome.
So it was a pretty interesting story. How or why whoever included that
I don't know.
That piece of knowledge.
Was Johnny
that?
Like a world history major?
I love to think of him like acing Jeopardy.
They didn't have Wikipedia back then, so Johnny was like reading his Encyclopedia Britannica.
He's well read. So Eraser passes him some Alka-Seltzers and says that's all he's going to need. They drop Eraser off at the hospital and plan to meet up later. Eraser walks toward the emergency room entrance, fade to the National Mall. DeGaren waits on a park bench in front of the Washington Monument.
This is like a decent time to mention that dudes are puffing cigarettes in this movie.
Like chain smoking.
You don't see that anymore in movies, really.
A limo arrives and picks him up. Inside are Undersecretary Harper and Cyrez executive Morehart, who we met in earlier parts of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The undersecretary is angrily demanding to know what the hell went wrong, I guess, with Lee being alive still. DeGaren says he'll have the situation under control in 24 hours. Undersecretary is not satisfied with this. DeGaren says, yes, there are problems, but they're solvable. First thing they need to do is cancel their upcoming shipment. Morehart says that's not an option. Undersecretary points out that they can't be sitting on 10 tons of weapons that aren't supposed to exist. That's a great point. DeGaren says, I am the eyes and ears of your world, gentlemen, and there's too much heat. The undersecretary replies heatedly, "You don't get it, do you? The money has changed hands. These are not the kind of people you cancel on." Like, shrieking at
that
him.
That was another very memorable line, though, when I was rewatching.
Yeah.
I remember that line. I also, though, feel like the buyers would probably rather, like, postpone the exchange than do it. Then get busted, you know, then fall into some sort of a trap.
Yeah, I feel like you just make the call and say, they're on to us.
We need to change it up or change the location or something, right?
And I feel like that's pretty easy to do.
I feel like they would want, the buyers would want that. They'd rather be safe than sorry, I think.
Yeah, like they want less liability, not more. No, we're doing it. We're doing it this way. Yeah, the undersecretary seems like a kind of an idiot in that regard. So he tells DeGaren to get the guns out of the country tonight or you're dead meat. So DeGaren looks fit to pop. Undersecretary then asks how are you going to do this impossible thing that I've asked you to do?
The whole vibe with these three is like they're all hostile towards each other.
Yeah.
You know, like I was under the impression watching it up until now that they were all in cahoots, you know, that they had all been former CIA buddies together or something and they were doing this thing. But no, it's kind of like they all fucking just hate each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how they find
strange
each other.
Strange bedfellows and all that.
Layla, what are you doing back there? Come out. Come on. Come with Layla. Come here.
Special shout out to our guest host, Layla the dog.
Layla the dog.
Australian cattle dog. So DeGaren says it's a sure bet that Erasure is going to try to break into Cyrez because figuring out what exactly is on that disc is the only way for them to clear himself and Lee. The undersecretary says, fine. It better work. The disc, the girl, the guns. By dawn, they don't exist.
That's another like line that I remember. I think that was in the trailer, actually.
It's good stuff.
Too good. It's like, so apparently, though, we don't quite know exactly what's on the disc. It does seem like it's stuff that would incriminate also the undersecretary and DeGaren. Like, I don't know if it's money transfers to these guys.
From the very beginning of the movie, when we saw what was on, like, flashing up on the screen. Yeah, I mean, it's pictures of the guns.
Right.
So,
but we just don't know who's implicated yet.
Right. So, cut to outside Cyrez headquarters. A news crew is reporting that the House Armed Services Committee will begin hearing on the Cyrez scandal in 2 weeks. Inside, in the security headquarters, Morehart is freaking out, but DeGaren tells him to do as he's told, and tomorrow you'll be chuckling about this in your kiss-ass country club.
That was
so
like,
good.
That was shit definitely rolls downhill in this movie. Like, the undersecretary's just shitting on... DeGaren. On DeGaren, and then now DeGaren shitting on Morehart.
Oh, yeah.
But that was just a brutal takedown, unprovoked.
Yeah. He asks who's running security. Morehart introduces him to the head of security.
That actor...
That dude is familiar.
Yeah, I had to look him up. His name, he's the redundantly named Patrick Kilpatrick.
Oh, boo.
Is his name. His
parents should be ashamed of themselves.
He was the evil serial killer Sandman in the Van Damme movie Death Warrant. That's what I recognize him from. But, yeah, he's just a memorable-looking dude.
He's in something else, and I'll have to look it up
later. He's one of these guys that's worked a ton, but that Death Warrant was the one that I was like, I recognize him from that.
He sort of looks like a less handsome Jack Palance.
Yeah, he's got the high cheekbones and everything. Yeah, very...
So this head of security... DeGaren tells this guy that he wants to keep everything nice and low profile. You ever do any wet work? Only on 3 different continents. Well, you want to impress me, Slick? Do your fucking job.
DeGaren is in fucking rare form today.
He
is going in on people. I feel like that's the real Jimmy Conn like shining through. I think he was kind of a hard ass to people, and that's why he wasn't working like your Pacinos and De Niros. He's just a little bit abrasive. I read interviews like where he was being a prick to the interviewer and stuff and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is like, he's just that guy, I guess.
Yeah, he's a sort of a prima donna. So he asks how many extra people he can bring in for the gig. Head of security says they've got 12 heavy hitters coming in that can do whatever it takes, quote unquote. And those guys are supplementing the 20 men on the regular squad.
In this movie and others, there's like an endless supply of mercenaries.
Yeah.
Like who will kill and do treason and
unlike Schwarzenegger. Well, they're all guys that work for like Blackstone or whatever the fuck, like Halliburton guys. We've got our own private army, like just literally dudes that'll do anything for money and they don't mind killing people. And that's why the world is a piece of shit. So DeGaren is okay with these numbers. These numbers are acceptable to DeGaren and tells the
guy. Wait, hold on. What numbers? Oh, the numbers of goons?
Yeah.
We got goons on goons on goons.
Yeah, exactly. So Deguerin finds these numbers acceptable and tells the guy that his own man at the entrance is to receive the Cyrex team's full cooperation. That's Calderon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So security guy says Deguerin's man's already dialed in and that the entire building is under video surveillance. Deguerin says Eraser will be able to get in no matter what, which that's a major that there you go. It doesn't matter if the whole city of New York is locked down. He's going to be able to get in no matter what.
Yeah, so why are we bothering?
You may as well not have doors. So just let him in. So
leave the window open.
It asks where he'll be trying to go. So Morehart says the only terminal that can run the disk is in the secure server area, which only has one way in or out, which we saw earlier in the movie when Lee was down there downloading things with that weird computer. Deguerin seems content with all this and says all they need to do now is wait. So down in the lobby, Johnny slips in, just right in, this right is past one of security.
This is one of my favorite scenes
like,
in the movie.
What the fuck? Just right in.
How did he get in there?
I'm a piece of... Okay, he
looked
go.
The part. He had like, this bizarre hat on.
How did he get through the gate?
Exactly.
Anyway, so Johnny slips in a very conspicuous pizza delivery getup. Security stops him and tells him that no unauthorized deliveries are allowed. Johnny might... No unauthorized deliveries are allowed.
I can't accept any deliveries. I love that. He's like telling the guy, relax, I'm just messing with you.
Like, Johnny mocks the guy. So funny. He keeps trying to like weasel his way in. The commotion gets the attention of Calderon, who has a couple more security goons come and grab Johnny. They slam him face first against the wall and frisk him.
Dude, did you catch what he was saying when he was like telling them, you know, these pizzas, if they don't, they're coming out of my paycheck, I'm saving up to buy a computer.
I wonder if that was ad-libbed.
It had to be. It's too good. I'm saving up for a computer.
That's so funny. I didn't notice that. He tells the guys he's got a bad heart and a very good lawyer. Security says he's clean and the pizza's legit. The pizza looked...
A fucking killer, dude,
I would
didn't
get
it?
Down on that pizza
uncured
right now.
Uncured pepperoni, it looked
yes.
like.
Mm. During the confusion, Johnny pops the Alka-Seltzers that Eraser gave him earlier in his mouth. Calderon tells Johnny to hit the road, but Johnny doesn't respond. And he spins Johnny around, and Johnny's foaming at the mouth. He collapses and fakes a seizure. Morehart, watching from the command center, orders security to get Johnny to the infirmary and call an ambulance.
Oh, dude.
It's bad publicity.
I just, are you aware of the existence of that Chris Pratt show that's on Amazon now? The Terminal List?
Yeah.
I was watching it the other day, and Nick Chinland is in it. Billy Bedlam / Calderon. I was like,
seriously?
Like 25 years older, you know, but I was like, holy shit, that's the dude.
I wonder now if it is in vogue, like people our age are the ones that are now
remember
making
these
movies
guys.
And they're like, man, that dude that played Billy Bedlam was fucking off the chain.
We were just, recent events, Aaron Rodgers just showed up
yes.
to like Packers training camp dressed as Cameron Poe.
Unbelievable.
Con Air.
So good.
And it's like, yeah, I think it is like,
it's just the times,
the moments.
Maybe, Nick Cage, Aaron Rodgers, we know you guys are listening. Shout out to Daniel Day-Lewis. We know you're listening
yes,
to you. Thank
always.
You guys.
He's the president of the fan club.
Yeah, it's coming back in the zeitgeist.
It was great to see Nick Chinland. He's still doing basically the same shit, like just being like generically kind of evil.
I do say like he's not a memorable looking guy, but his voice is memorable.
Gravelly.
To me.
Yeah.
Very very cool.
Peeled her like an onion. If she knew anything, she talked.
Gross.
Why are you coming right now?
Well, yeah, I can see your boner through your jeans, guy. So Deguerin calls Schiff, who is supervising the shipment of the rail guns, the EM guns. Schiff says they'll be on the road within the hour. Deguerin says they better be, or he needs to know why they're not.
Deguerin's feeling the heat from the undersecretary.
Yeah, from undersecretary. That dude, that's his name. He's a federal people. So back at Cyrez, an ambulance rolls up. The EMTs are none other than Eraser and Lee in disguise, who are waved right through.
And this is the shot where you can really see the Cyrez campus.
Yeah.
Where it's like...
The gate is nowhere near.
It's pretty secluded. It made you wonder in Act 1, like, where were those FBI guys set up? They were looking, like, peering in her window,
across
basically.
Across the street.
They were, like, a good mile
doesn't
away or
make
something.
Any sense.
But also, yeah, they are just like, well, this checks out. They've been waiting for you. What happened, though? Aren't there going to be real EMTs that show up at some point, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, they didn't intercept the call, I don't
think.
Or
maybe they killed the real
EMTs. That's dark.
Yeah.
You took the darkest timeline.
Yeah. So we see them arrive in a loading dock, which is also seen on a monitor in the security command center. No one seems to suspect anything. So far, the ruse is working.
Lee looked as suspicious as a person can look. She was wearing the huge aviators,
like
in a ball cap.
What the fuck is what's that EMT doing?
But wouldn't the security have pictures of Eraser and Lee?
They would already
be on the lookout for these two people.
What? No. What do they look like, DeGaren?
One looks just like Schwarzenegger.
And the other one you saw in Playboy, probably. So in the infirmary, the medics say that Johnny's stable. Johnny's fidgeting with his heart monitor and unplugs a wire that makes him flatline.
Oh, Johnny, why the fuck would he even be doing that?
I love it that he starts to like laugh at it. The medical staff calls a code blue, even though he's conscious and trying to tell him it was an accident.
They put that piece of foam in his mouth or whatever.
They slap a gag on him, roll in a crash cart and zap him a couple of times. And he's obviously not coding.
I feel like that would kill you, right? Yeah. Does that stop your heart if it's...
I feel like it probably
if you have a normal rhythm getting zapped?
Yeah.
But they zapped him twice.
Yeah, they zapped. So they increase the voltage and prepare to shock him again.
Let's try this one more time.
Johnny saved when Eraser and Lee burst in. Eraser with gun drawn.
Amazing. And Eraser's like, let's not. And it's like, what? Did you fucking hear what she was saying?
Like, what?
It's 15 seconds ago, you heard it?
Yeah, he orders everyone up against the wall.
There was one armed guard.
Get down on the floor. Get down on the floor.
There was one armed guard who just instantly surrendered.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want
I'm not here for this.
As we've seen, that happens in law enforcement sometimes.
Facts.
He unstraps Johnny, who's pissed at the medics, and takes the guard's gun. Eraser tells him to tie everyone up and keep them secure while he and Lee run off. Back in the security command center, the same creepy IT guy from earlier in the movie detects that the disc is being run.
I feel like that dude's working 24/7, man. You know,
IT guys, yeah.
Yeah.
At that time, there was the IT guy. So DeGaren is not pleased at this information. Head of security says that's impossible, that no one has entered the server area. He even calls down and gets the all clear from his men. DeGaren says Eraser must have sneaked in and scrambles everyone to converge there. He got through the locked door without anyone seeing it.
He dropped it through the ceiling or something.
Fucking invisible.
Like fucking Mission Impossible type shit.
Yeah, so down in the server room, Morehart seems to have trouble remembering the code to enter. DeGaren grabs a shotgun and just blasts the lock. That's not how things
there's
work.
There's no way in hell that move makes the door open.
Nope. And there's a whole
If anything, it would make it where you're never going to get through this door again.
There's a whole Mythbusters about how that shit basically doesn't work.
Just shoot the keypad and
shoot a padlock off.
That's a flaw in the design if that works.
Yeah, it's like don't buy that lock anymore. So they open the door, find the room empty. Surprise. DeGaren demands to know what the fuck's going on. The IT guy says that Eraser must be running the disc from a remote terminal, which is counter to everything that we know about running the disc at this point.
Yeah.
So DeGaren reminds Morehart that, hey, bro, you said that that's impossible. Morehart said it is impossible.
It's supposed to be.
DeGaren puts a gun to Morehart's head, which draws the ire of head security goon. He tells DeGaren, hey, buddy, holster your weapon, to which DeGaren replies, take a hike, Junior.
He got the drop on him like he sort of grabbed him by the wrist and like put some judo type shit on him.
Head of security, he puts him in the same hold that he puts on John in Bottle Rocket. John! So he tells the head of security, pulls his weapon, starts to turn DeGaren around. DeGaren gets the drop on him, like twists his arm behind his back. Yeah. So, you know, some people take things for granted, like the ability to chew solid food, he says. The IT guy.
Nice tough guy line.
Yeah. The IT guy interrupts, saying that he can figure out what computer they're using by scanning every terminal in the building, which in 1996, I imagine, would take. Yeah, you have to go like one by one. Computers were not as fast.
No.
To say the least. So cut to Donahue office. That was the dearly departed, James Cromwell's character. James Cromwell's not dead, thank God. Just
obviously,
his character, Donahue.
And obviously the most logical place for the computer that would have secret access.
Right.
Right to the server.
Why is there not a guard up there? A guard on every floor.
Or that would be the first place you'd scan if you were going to scan every terminal. Let's start with Donahue's office.
Or have a guard on every floor. But anyway, I guess it wouldn't have mattered because Eraser would find a way that they wouldn't have
seen. Yeah, I did think it was a nice touch that they had the plywood up on the window, like because obviously there had just been the suicide in
brain
there.
Brain residue. Ugh. So, yeah, Donahue's office is still barricaded up with crime scene tape. Eraser, seated at Donahue's computer, tells Lee she was right about Donahue leaving himself
back door.
Just in case. Eraser reckons they've got 5 or 6 minutes to find what they need. How he knows? No one knows.
Nah.
He is two finger pounding the keyboard looking for God knows what and tells her, stop me if you see anything that looks familiar.
Why? watching Schwarzenegger use a computer is like watching a chimp on a typewriter. Yes. So he's just like clack, 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 clack. Why not let Lee have a moment to shine?
Right.
This is, let her take the reins. She knows what she's looking for. Just stop me if I stumble upon it,
Lee. Yeah, stop me if I accidentally do the right thing.
He found the back door.
Get on the floor.
It reminds me of that bit in Commando when he was like studying the maps.
Yes.
And it was just like, you don't look like you know it's what you're doing.
It's near Catalina, I think. What? So meanwhile, Daguerrean is watching the IT guy work. Morehart comes up and tells Daguerrean there are FBI agents downstairs that want to talk. Daguerrean tells Morehart to go talk to the feds and to get rid of them. He also tells Calderon to get a helicopter ready on the roof for a quick getaway.
Yeah, he's like, absolutely.
Now I got a lot of confidence about this situation. Back up in Donahue's office, Lee spots shady financial transactions and points to a large deposit from a Syrian bank. They say a $52 million deposit from a notorious Russian arms dealer, that makes sense with a Syrian connection.
They had a fucking headshot of the guy in the system. Why would that be? But yeah, he recognized the dude.
Yeah. Downstairs, the IT guy narrows down the search for the disc to I've got it narrowed down to 15 in the north wing.
Yeah.
Daguerrean scrambles all the goons in that direction, tells the IT guy, you've got 5 minutes to find the right PC. Upstairs, Lee and Eraser uncover a manifest for a delivery of 1,000 of the crazy EM guns that are supposed to ship out of Baltimore Harbor at midnight that night, as luck would have it.
In a cruel twist of screenwriting, they asked Schwarzenegger to say the word terrorism, and he's just like, there will be a new world era in terrorism.
Terrorism.
You're missing some syllables. That's brutal, though. You don't ask Schwarzenegger to say terrorism.
Did you say in terror or something?
Door.
Floor. At that moment, IT guy downstairs pinpoints the location and radios Daguerrean and the goons that they're in Donahue's office on the 25th floor. He also begins remotely deleting the disc somehow.
Is that a thing?
You can't remotely delete a CD-ROM.
I don't think so. Even like there used to be those CD-RWs, the ones you could rewrite on whatever.
But you
can't remotely do that shit.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Eraser scrambles to try to get the disc to eject. But
he just started manhandling the computer.
His own kiss-off line appears on screen. It's just been erased.
Who the fuck wrote that? Like what did the ponytail IT guy write that?
How would he have had knowledge of that line?
To be an inside joke? That was
shitty.
That was horrible.
That was shitty. So gunmen burst in and open fire. Eraser pulls Lee to the floor and shoots one of the guys in the kneecaps. Then he flings her away and throws a rolling chair at the other guy, knocking him down.
That was a nice move.
He pounces on that guy, but the elevator dings, which never heralds anything good.
Every action movie, that's like a thing. Ding! It's always ominous.
Shit ton more guys are on the elevator. Eraser uses the guard as a human shield, pulls the pins on several grenades that are attached to the guy's vest, and kicks him into the elevator with the other guys, which is kind of awesome.
That was pretty sweet. It was like straight from the Tango and Cash playbook, right. But it was sweet, though.
In a hall, it also felt a little bit like that, a Total Recall scene.
Yes.
For the elevator. So in a hallway, Eraser engages more guys, tells Lee to get back to the ambulance and wait for him there. Alarms.
Does he expect her to make it down 25 flights?
Well, he showed her the secret way no one knows about. You remember that chute.
Shimmying down the trash chute.
Yeah, the secret way. Alarm sound and a large security gate descends from the ceiling, separating Eraser from Lee. I keep wanting to call him Erasure, like the band, like the 80s
yes.
group. He yells at her to keep running, and she does, but right into the arms of Daguerrean, wouldn't you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mentor and protege try shooting at each other, but the gates are bulletproof. Daguerrean puts a gun to Lee's head, tells Eraser to leave him to his business or kill the woman.
It was more great work from Khan.
Yeah.
Who then, pistol whipped her right in the face, man. That was brutal.
Yeah. He forces her into a stairwell, leaving Eraser pounding the security gate. Suddenly, he gets an idea, brainwave. Shoots a sprinkler. The fire alarm goes off, triggering the security gate to lift. He sprints up to the roof just in time to see Calderon and Daguerrean pulling Lee into a helicopter. As it lifts off, the head of security jumps out, attacks Eraser, and immediately gets his neck broken. I mean, mere seconds.
There's a lot of speedy kills in this final bit of the movie. And, rest in peace, security guy. Yeah. We hardly knew you.
Yeah, leaving Eraser to watch hopeless as the chopper flies away with Lee on it. Cut to the ambulance pulling up in the woods where a car is parked from earlier.
He somehow managed to get out of the Cyrus building.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't know. This is the third impossible escape of this section of the movie. Like, give us something. Did he, like, he could have slid down the elevator cables or something? That would be hard to get out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, with
30 it's on full with, lockdown.
Well, I see a 20 plus
he's
12
killed
minus.
A few.
Yeah, well, he killed an elevator full. So let's say he's killed eight
guys. Even if there's 20 guys left.
Yeah.
It's like that would be just hard to get out of there when everyone in the building is looking for you.
Yeah. So we cut to the ambulance pulling up in the woods where their car from earlier is parked. Somehow Eraser and Johnny escaped Cyrez. Johnny says he'll have them to Baltimore in 40 minutes, but Eraser says he can't let him come along for this, that he's done it all. You've already risked your neck and violated your parole and witness protection and everything else, and I put you in danger.
Now all of a sudden he's concerned about
Johnny's safety. Yeah. Johnny emotionally says that he still owes Eraser his life, like Chewbacca to Han Solo, and helpfully adds that his cousin, Tony, my cousin Tony runs the docks in Baltimore and can help him find the right ship. Eraser gives this some thought, then gives a smile, gives Johnny that little head jerk, like telling him to come get in. Come on, get in, buddy. Johnny is over the fucking moon, like dad just like his dad just came to pick him up for the weekend.
Dairy Queen.
Yeah. Eraser slides over, Johnny takes the wheel, and they peel the shit out of there on the way to hopefully save the day. Will they?
Time will tell.
It's anyone's guess at this point.
These
My
movies
guess is good.
These movies are unpredictable.
Maybe that's another reason why this movie is it lacks in something is because the stakes are never high because it's sort of like watching the last season of 24, whereas like Jack Bauer had become a superhero at that point in the show, and it was like he became a caricature of the Jack Bauer that they'd been, you know, building.
It's what happened to John McClane.
Yeah.
Where it was like the first movie, it's like, oh, this guy could get
He's every man.
And then by the whatever, the final movies of this Die Hard series,
Die
it's just
even
like
harder, part 12.
He can basically fly and he's bulletproof now. Yeah. You know, he's
like,
crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing about the movie. The stakes are never high.
We know damn well Arnold will save the day and that that Vanessa Williams is going to be fine.
Yeah. Man, would have been amazing if she died or something.
Dude, yeah. Give us something we haven't seen before.
Yeah, it's like, whoa. Shocking.
Maybe she still will.
Yeah.
Maybe, sorry if we gave away the ending, people.
Plot spoiler. Oh, my God. But we hope you guys are enjoying this as much as we're enjoying talking about it. Thanks to all of our friends in the Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network. Thanks to Daniel Day-Lewis, Nicholas Cage,
our number
Aaron
one
Rodgers.
Fan.
Yeah, we know you guys
we're
are
gonna
listening.
We're going to send you. We're going to respond to your fan mail in good time.
Yeah, I keep meaning to text you guys back. I'll hit you back
on the
in
group
the
group chat.
In the group thread.
That's amazing. And until then, we'll be back.